When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Wake up, wake up, you sleepy head, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Jovovich towards the back post. Johnny Jackson.
It's in! Yes!
Johnny Jackson!
Get there!
Johnny Jackson! What a beautiful corner kick from Jovovich. It came with a left-footed towards the back post.
Sorry about that.
Johnny Jackson stole in with a header past Robert Green. And Charlton, in the 92nd minute of this game, have taken a 1-0 lead.
You took to me from the moment I came here. You made me one of your own. You made me feel welcome, like it was my club too. And for that, I can't thank you enough.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendes. This is Maritime Radio, your Sunday evening here on tonight's show. We're going to look back at yesterday's superb 1-0 win over Blackburn Rovers. We're right on the brink of the playoff places. Also, of course, we're going to play homage to the one and only skipper, Johnny Jackson. Joining me in the studio to do just that, it's a packed house this evening here at the Valley. We've got Nathan Muller on my right. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, mate.
Yeah, living it well.
Yeah, I was a bit nervous yesterday, coming sort of what last 10 minutes, but we pulled through again.
Pulled through, yeah, once pulled again. Through. Yeah. Joining us also, Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
All right. Yeah.
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 Hungover or
no? I'm all right. Yeah. Yeah. Other people I was with maybe not so much, but no, I'm fine.
And Terry, you're going to have to get nearer that microphone. But also join us is the grand old man of Charlton Live, Terry Smith.
Evening, everyone. All right.
You all right?
I'm buzzing. Yes.
Yeah. And
better now.
Looking forward to the playoff.
No.
No.
If my experience yesterday on comms was anything to go by, I'm going to be in pieces.
Yeah. Well, that's something to look forward to. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
I might have to pass over. Yeah. Tom would be good.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to get Talisman Tom in. I mean, we've been going through all these, like you say, this the heartache and the potential heartbreak of the playoff race. That's just getting to it. When we get there, it's going to be horrible. And it's one of those things, like, why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we like football? Why can't we just go for a nice walk in the park on a Saturday afternoon instead? But that'd be boring. So, as I said on tonight's show, we are going to listen back to Terry's highlights with Greg of yesterday's game. We're going to hear our exclusive interview with Lee Bowyer. We want to read your tweets and emails on the game. But of course, we're paying homage to Johnny Jackson, the skipper, after 8 years here as a player at the club. He's retiring, hanging up his boots at the end of the season. He got a great reception yesterday as he had his speech and did a lap of honour and whatnot. Just a shame he couldn't get on yesterday, but unfortunately circumstances dictated that it wasn't going to be the case. But we will be paying homage to him, so we want you guys to email us in your favourite Jacko memories, tweet us in your favourite Jacko memories, anything you want to say. You can email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. Tom, yesterday's game, it was just one of those gentle ones. Just you always knew we were going to win. Surprised we didn't win by more.
Yeah, I said to Terry when we arrived, it's easy, isn't it, this League One? yeah, that was hard work. It was a tough game. It was to be expected. They're obviously on a mammoth run. Was it one defeat in 33 coming into yesterday? Crazy. But same as the last two games at Shrewsbury and Portsmouth, we just defended resolutely, well, got ourselves in front, and then we're just... to a man, unbelievable again defensively. A single out praise for Marshall and Amos in particular, but all across the park again. That display of character, as I say, is stuff that we have seen a little bit before, but since Bowyer's come in, they've just been like it pretty much every game, that one dodgy week aside, and it was just such a solid performance. And we had to live a little dangerously. They had a couple of chances, but we stuck it out, and surely now that's going to be enough.
Nathan, I assume that when the fourth official parked the board to show 7 minutes of added time, you just went, brilliant, because I'm really enjoying this and I want to see as much as it as possible.
My language is a little bit more colourful. it was a long afternoon, obviously being in the stands, but I think Tom alluded to it briefly. I was talking to a couple of Charlton fans earlier, Robbie Bagg and stuff, saying how Marshall, I don't think... I've ever seen some, like, and then he got to a stage, he worked so hard, he actually went through on goal, didn't he, and then fell over the ball, so I don't think his legs could actually function anymore. But yeah, I mean, ever since the last few games, we've been putting in such a shift, and yeah, you know, it wasn't our best performance, and yeah, Blackburn didn't have their full strength out, but they've got a winning mentality, and they've lost two games now in 34 matches, so it was a great performance. And you know, we've said on Thursday, I was a nervous wreck Thursday, it was a nervous wreck Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon until the full time whistle, but like Tom said, we got over the line. That's the main thing.
I mean, everyone's going on about Blackburn's good run, aren't they, but I just looked it up, they've lost their last one out of one, so it's embarrassing. Terry, I know you used to play a bit back in the day. Did you ever score with your, some would say, greatest feature?
Probably.
Ooh.
Yeah, almost certainly, in fact, I think.
I'll let you decide if that's a question.
I would have probably meant it, though.
I mean, you take them as you get them.
Absolutely,
don't you?
He's probably probably the most expensive cheek in League One if we actually do manage to get up.
But, the Kim Kardashian of League One, they call Jason Pearce.
I think what you earn your luck, don't you? I mean, I think that's basically it. And over the last few games, it's more than that since Lee Bowyer's taken over. Apart from that, as Tom said, that 1 week where he freely admits he might have got it a bit wrong, then. Apart from that, we've really worked hard as a squad, not just the 11 that's out there, the ones that come on as well. Mm. Really worked hard, and you earn your right to play football sometimes. Yeah. And that shift that everybody put in yesterday, especially Marshall, by the way, I thought he was our man of the match. But you know, Jason Pearce, I think if you had to pick out one player who would have probably put their hand up and said, right, if you want the rest of the season to go like this, who's up for it? Jason Pearce would be the first in the queue, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He worked his backside off, but luckily he still had it when he scored the goal. Right, let's have a listen to the commentary highlights from Valley Pass yesterday. Terry Smith and Greg Stubley just about keeping it together, I think is fair to say.
Mark Rue has got 14 goals for Blackburn this season. He's the third highest goal scorer. There's a centre-half, that's not too shabby. He's probably the leading goal scorer on the pitch at the moment. Mulgrew takes the strike. It's a low one down to the left-hand side, but about 2 yards comfortably wide of Amos's left-hand post.
It could have been one of those horrible ones there that just took a deflection. Ron's foot's a goalkeeper. He didn't connect with it at all.
Mulgrew. The free kick is about 3 yards outside the penalty area to the left-hand side, about 2 yards, 3 yards inside from the left-hand edge, but halfway towards the touchline, if you can understand that positioning. Forster Caskey. It's a fizzed ball in, Pearce at the far post, palmed away by the keeper, Leutweiler, and then chipped back in by Konza. Cleared away out to Caskey with a shot.
It's a blanket in! Bob Pearce! Come on!
Jason Pearce! It was a sweet strike from...
Come on!
Ahmed Caskey after the ball came out to the... 3 or 4 yards out from the penalty area. Caskey with the strike. It's hit Jason Pearce as he's coming back.
Here comes to Smallwood. Smallwood offside. Chip ball forward towards Samuel. He's onside. Gets out of control. Does Costa comes across and gets a challenge. Did he get the ball?
Firstly, Samuel was offside. Secondly, that's a penalty. Or that's a foul. Whether it was inside or outside the box.
The figure's just on the edge of the box. Konza was dived in. They played offside, Charlton. A little bit lapsed defending.
He was clearly offside, Samuel.
There's the half-time whistle as Charlton dominate the first half here at the Valley.
Out by Blackburn plans. Payne tries to get under control, tries to take the ball past Pearce. And now Smallwood in the penalty area. Smallwood does clear the way by Marshall. It's great covering defending from Lewis Page initially to block the shot. And then Marshall came all the way back and cleared. But Lewis Page got the first challenge and now he's hurt on the ground. Three players accompany. Can't release the ball. Now Murray Bell with the ball forward towards Armstrong in the penalty area. Armstrong reverse ball to Payne. Saved by Amos and cleared by De Silva.
Well played, Jay De Silva.
Still with it. Closed down by Barrett. Cleared away on his far. Smallwood's shot blocked by Pearson. Barrett comes out to Evans. Out left to Mulgrew. Further down the line to Bell. Blackburn knocking on the door. Bell's ball in. It's Payne. What a save from Amos. Comes back to Smallwood in the penalty area. Smallwood still forced out wide. Backwards to Bell. Charlton scrambling to try and clear.
See, that is now. So Armstrong breaking away down the Charlton right-hand side. It's an instant shot from Graham. Cannons back to Armstrong. Back to the edge of the box. And Travis, great defending from Charlton. But Lenehan now has it for Blackburn. A yard outside the area. Into the box. And Travis being forced out wide by Pearce. Ball back across, however, and headed away by Caskey to concede the corner. Hands to the pump.
It was what a block from Pearce.
Instant breakaway down that Charlton right-hand side by Armstrong. Ball back into the box, found Graham. That shot was... I didn't see who blocked it. I was trying to pick it out. It was Pearce. Threw himself in front of that.
Claims of handball. I'm not sure about that. I didn't feel confident that hit his hand.
He's just lost.
He's just got his body in the way. If that hadn't... probably looking at a 1-1 scoreline here.
It's a corner as it is to Blackburn in front of the Jimmy Seed stand on the Charlton left-hand side. It'll be swung in. It's a dangerous one. A header off the crossbar! And Reeves with
away.
The diving header to get it away for another corner.
Unbelievable.
It was Downing with the header. As Blackburn pile on the pressure.
Oh, how's that not got in? Everyone just stood still for a minute there. Time stood still for a minute there. Dear, the bar.
Cleared away. Upfield, it's Smallwood. Goes backwards to Bell. Bell chip ball forward, looking for Smallwood again. Graham comes short, little chest control, but read by Marshall. Oh, and he's had his pocket picked by Travis. Travis in towards the edge of penalty. McGuinness back there, goes out to Samuel. Great save by Ben Amos, away to his right hand side, and be picked up by Armstrong. Konza up to Reeves, lovely little back flick to Konza. Konza up to Mavadini, back flick to Konza again. Konza edge of the penalty area, finds Marshall to his left, back across. Forced to Caskey! Saved away to the left-hand side and cleared away by Blackburn, only as far as Bauer in his own half. Launches the ball forward.
Got something under those
7 shorts. Minutes of added time here.
Blimey.
Seven?
I thought it'd be a lot. I thought maybe 5 or 6, but 7 seems a bit extortionate for me.
7?
It's never the easy way, though, Terry. Come on. 50 years of supporting Charlton, my friend. Come on, mate.
True enough.
It wasn't going to be free, was it?
No,
come on.
Good point. Well, to be fair, Lewis Page was down. Taking it off of him. Whittingham. Whittingham comes away. Gives it to Travis. Travis back to Downing. Launches it forward. 52 minutes gone. Oh, Bauer surely fouled by Graham. He is in the centre circle. Charlton free kick.
Oh, I can't handle this story.
Much more of it.
We're gone here live on Valley Pass. Welcome to our life.
7 minutes are up. We're on to added time of added time here at the Valley.
Listen to that
Absolute
crowd.
Absolute scenes here at the Valley.
Covered in is screaming. They're shouting. They're up. They're on their feet. Come on, Charlton. See this out for everyone's sake.
Armstrong not retreating. It's their time they're wasting as Bauer launches it forward into the corner. Let it go, everybody does. It's a throw-in deep into Blackburn territory. Everybody imploring the referee to blow. And there's
come on!
Charlton have 3 points.
Come on!
We headed to the last game of the season with everything in our own hands. It's exactly what we wanted. We've beaten second place Blackburn Rovers, already promoted. Backs to the wall stuff in this second half. But Charlton withstood intense pressure from promoted Blackburn, and they've seen it out. And Charlton with 3 points go into the last game of the season knowing that a win will see them into the playoffs. The Valley crowd has been absolutely awesome here, getting behind the Charlton players who've seen it through. And I'm going for a lie down.
How was the lie down, Terry? Was it all right?
Still doing it.
I mean, that was sort of hair standing up on the back of the neck commentary there right at the end, Terry. So well done to you and Greg, because I mean,
apologise for losing it.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah. I mean, I really sort of took me back to exactly how I was feeling at 5-5 yesterday, because goodness me, 7 minutes. There isn't some sort of American phrase like 7 minutes in heaven. I mean, that was 7 minutes in hell.
It was. It wasn't just seven, to be fair. Yeah. I mean, the whole second half for me was. I was explaining before we came on air that I get nervous a bit, but generally speaking, once I start commentating, I very rarely get that nervous. But yesterday was just a different level, and I knew Blackburn were going to come at us. They obviously knew the Wigan score, so they knew by if they could beat us, there's a good chance they'll be champions. So they really had something to go for, and they went for it, and they brought on Graham, and it was backs to the wall stuff. I mean, even though we had the chance with Jake's strike that I thought was going in, but. And I was saying, there was a moment yesterday, and if anybody was listening again, I apologise, where I just forgot to commentate, because I was so nervous about. I think Konza lost the ball on the right-hand side in the second half, and they attacked, I think, with Armstrong and Payne down that left, and the ball came up, I think it was Danny Graham shot, and Amos had to save it. And I just forgot to commentate. I was so anxious to see who was in the box that he could cross it to, that and would we keep it out, that just for that sort of two-minute spell, I completely forgot where I was.
They say a lot of the time that you make your own luck. You know, when you come out of a game, we sort of felt a bit lucky there. So you make your own luck. But, you know, if there's one person who deserved every bit of luck he got yesterday, and the only bit of luck he really got was when the ball came off the crossbar, because everything else that came in his box he dealt with, and that was Ben Amos. What a superb performance it was from the goalkeeper.
Yeah, he was unreal. And as I say, for me, Marshall was probably our outfield man of the match, but Amos ran him close, and a lot of the saves, obviously, sitting up in the north lower, they were up the other end. But having seen the highlights back today, you realise just what a shift he put in. I mean, two or three of those, at the time, I assumed that they were going in. And then when you see him again on the highlights, obviously, you know that they haven't. But still, to see those saves, they were unbelievable. And obviously, for a lone player, they still want to come and they want to perform and everything. But, you know, we've had lone players here before that perhaps don't quite, they're not so interested, or they don't get it. But, you know, him, De Silva, even Mavadidi when he's come on, you know, those guys, they understand what it means. They're excited. They're playing in a team that's banging form and in the hunt for the playoffs. So, yeah, it was just a brilliant performance from him.
And I feel like we've come a long way since the start of the season, when we had this goalkeeper that, you know, had been on loan at Cardiff last season, and we heard a few rumours it was a bit dodgy, and then he let in a bit of a soft goal away at Plymouth that he might have felt he could have done better with, and perhaps a few of us were worried. But I mean, any of us who were worried at that time have been shut up now.
Yeah, and I remember we spoke to him after Bradford away when we won 1-0, and I just can't remember exactly when in the season that was, but the way he came across then, it seemed like there was a little change, and it was around that time where he went, as you say, from this nervous goalkeeper we'd had at the start, who we were a bit unsure of, and I remember us being very critical of him early in the season, to just growing and growing and growing into the shirt. And him and the back four seem to have a really good understanding. He commands his box well, he makes important saves at the right times, and he's kept us in games this season.
Now, the rumour going around before team news was announced yesterday, Nath, in here, was that Bradley Dack was out, and that turned out to be true. Now, you know, someone who scored a very impressive total from midfield this season, you know, we know how good a player he is, coupled with the fact that Danny Graham was only on the bench as well. I mean, that was probably 30 plus goals they've taken out of their starting lineup, Blackburn. So when you hear that, so all of a sudden you think, well, we've got half a chance here, haven't we?
Yeah, well, I mean, we was talking about on Thursday, weren't we, saying that Jake might have to play a little bit more of a disciplined role just to try and screen the back four with Cashy for Dak. And so they seem to be quite, they used to play, when they got the ball in the mid, they play the aggressive ball forward into feet to that, I think it was Jack Payne in the end. I only realised that weren't playing until halfway through. But because they look the same. But yeah, no, it was a massive boost for us. But you know, as I said earlier, that you know they still had players who played in the Premiership, and it was a nice little boost for us. But we still, you know, you can only beat what's in front of you, can't you? But I think we'd done all right first half. But as you know, I think as Tel and Tom said, second half they were going to come out. They had to, and they couldn't have got any worse. So. But I think we stood up to them. But yeah, I think we cope with all of them really.
And in terms of our team news, obviously Marshall coming in for Fosu, who was injured. I mean, that was something that we've discussed it, whether it should be Kaikai. I don't know what's going on with Kaikai. Was he even on the bench yesterday?
No, he weren't. No.
So, but I was quite glad to see Marshall come in. And yesterday, he sort of put in the sort of performance that we knew we'd need, and very hard working. You know, and he's still an outlet with the ball, not as good as Fosu. I'm sure we can say that, but he's still an outlet on the ball, running with it a couple of times. You know, his end product's not as good as Fosu, but I thought he played really well yesterday. His work rate was superb.
Yeah, and as I say, for me, it's between him and Amos, the man of the match. He's someone who I struggled to get behind in the early part of the season. I didn't really see what he offered us. He came with this glowing reputation from Bradford, and I just didn't really see it. And now the longer he's gone on, he's improved a huge amount. The defensive cover is just outstanding. I'm sure as fans we'd like him to get more assists and a few more goals, and maybe next year he will. But yeah, the work he does defensively, and when look, they did make changes, but they're still Blackburn, they're still on that run. We were going to have to put a defensive shift in, and he's exactly the sort of player we needed, and he did it.
Yeah, and we spoke to him yesterday after the game, actually, didn't we, Tell? And he's those interviews are going to come out in the South London Press tomorrow if Richard Corley pulls his finger out and types it. but he just one thing he mentioned was that the fact that because I sort of asked him, you know, you had your heartache in the playoffs last season. He was at Bradford, lost to Millwall, and he sort of mentioned, "Oh, actually, I've had three heartaches in the playoffs, all of them against Millwall." So I asked him if that's why he signed for us, because we hate Millwall here, and he's like, "Yep," which is good to see. Now the way the game started, I thought the first 5 minutes or so we were really in their faces. Then it sort of lulled, and there wasn't really any chances. I mean, Blackburn looked good in possession, but we were pressing them. Us in possession, maybe slightly rushed at times, just trying to find the final ball. But you weren't exactly thinking, right, we're going to be overrun here at all.
No, I actually think it was quite an even game generally, until that sort of latter part of the second half when they really pummeled us. But I think we had our moments without really creating a lot. And I think, you know, when you consider that probably our most creative player was out in Tariq. And I didn't have a real problem with that, because I've seen Mark Marshall battle like that, and I think we've missed that cover on the right-hand side, especially because we haven't had an actual right back. So more important than we have that right defensive cover, and Mark Marshall offers that in spades. So I just think I wasn't as unhappy as long as Marshall played, and he did. I'd have been a bit more worried had someone like Kaikai plays, not simply because I don't think he's played well at all, maybe in 10-minute spells, but because of that defensive stuff that Marshall gives us, and we were always going to need that against a side like Blackburn, always.
Yeah, and they had the first sort of half chance, was they had that free kick, didn't they? Sort of 25 yards out, and upstairs Charlie Moore grew, and you're thinking, what's a central defender stepping up to take a free kick? And then you see he's scored 14 goals already this season. I mean that's a handy total to add, and he put the free kick wide. But then, you know, we started, you know, we were making forays forward, getting into dangerous positions, and we win this free kick on the left hand side, in line with the edge of the box, and Forster Caskey is getting ready to wind it up. Now this would be a good one for a Charlton related what happens next, because I mean it's not too a whole. I mean I'll put it out there to the listeners, when was the last time one of our players scored with his bum?
Well,
Frank Newbull.
Probably Hasselbank. You said Frank Hasselbank Newbull before.
He must have scored at least 10 a season with his backside.
Yeah. I mean, I just wonder if Frank Newbull scored with his bum at Dagenham and Redbridge, or if I made that up or not. But he possibly. But I mean, the way the goal came is persistence in the box, you know, Charlton putting the ball back in, Cashy buying a ticket to the lottery.
I'd like to know, because I haven't seen a good enough camera angle yet from but anybody who was in the cupboard end from behind the goal, of looking down the sort of the line of it. Was it on target?
No way. It was another shank like you see later in the game.
Yeah. the club put out their all angles GoPro stuff earlier, which I'm a big fan of. And yeah, I think Cashin shot was probably going just wide. But I mean, Pearcey knew what he was doing.
He knew that.
He knew what was coming. His arse had been waiting for this moment for years.
I think he obviously adjusted his body so it hit his left cheek, because obviously if it was right cheek, it would have gone straight back somewhere else. So
good technique. You don't see Messi doing that, do you?
I'm not sure I'd want to see him practicing it.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about squeaky bum time, don't they? But that was just excellent, just excellent stuff. So we take the lead. You know, like I said, we take our bit of luck because we haven't had much of it throughout the campaign, have we?
No, not really. And like you said earlier, we make our own luck. We've still put in a hell of a performance. I was just looking at the stats. Then we had one shot, and it was that one, but possession stats, we had more possession than them, which considering second half it felt like they had about 95% possession, means actually in that first half we played really well. My mate who came down yesterday is a Blackburn fan, and a load of our mates came who are neither Charlton or Blackburn, and they just said the standard of the game on the whole wasn't great, but I think that worked in our favour. I think if it had been fast flowing football without Fosu, I think they probably would have had the edge on us. And you saw that when they did manage to break away a couple of times in the second half. But we sort of brought it down a level, made it hard for them, got in their faces, like you said, for the first 5 minutes, and made it into more of a scrappy game. And it worked in our favour. And obviously, we come out winners.
Yeah, it worked a treat, particularly in that first half, where there's very, very little of note after the goal. Though I did very much enjoy Lewis Page deciding to try and slide in on the goalkeeper. did you ever used to play FIFA when you think, I just want to get a man sent off? And you'd always get a red card for doing a sliding challenge on the goalkeeper. And Lewis Page, you know, took himself back to his teenage years when he used to play a bit of FIFA and went for that. So I genuinely was expecting a straight red card, because it's so ingrained in my mind that if you slide tackle,
tapping the square bone.
Yeah, I was just trying to turn it on, off and on again. But other than that, I genuinely I don't think I've seen many. I mean, I was more playing around with my Excel spreadsheet trying to work out the permutations after Scunthorpe went up and Plymouth went down a goal in their respective games. Now the only other real moment was, I think it was Amari Bell going through. Looked a little bit offside, but I haven't seen it back. But my initial reaction was, he's going to get sent off here, because that looked like
that
a bad challenge.
Well.
But the flag stayed down, the referee's whistle didn't blow. So, I mean, are we happy that it was a good challenge?
First off, I mean, I was literally spitting feathers because he just stood there, stopped and put his hand up. And I thought, right, he's on goal now and he's going to score and I'm going to be very, very upset. But I thought it was a good tackle from where I sit, but I haven't seen it back. I thought he did win the ball. I wouldn't say it was a clean tackle.
I agree with you. He got to the ball.
Yeah.
But from where he was coming from,
he
had no other option but to go through the back of the field to get to it. You're not allowed to do that. You just can't. You can come in from the side possibly, but from the angle I had, it looked like he just went straight through the back of him. Mm. I thought he was nailed on offside. I mean, he was a good yard offside, at least. And so I think... If there is such a thing as justice, that we got it, but I still think that was a foul. I'm not sure it was inside the box, but it was definitely
on the edge. Yeah, I just wonder if the referee's initial reaction was, I think that's offside, and therefore if I now send the player off, that, you know, I know they're not supposed to think like that, but I always wonder if that's just at the back of his mind. I mean, a lot of people actually said, I thought the referee was really good yesterday.
Yeah,
Let the game flow as much as he could. Obviously we tried to turn it into a bit of a niggly game. Didn't, you know, get out the FIFA manual when Lewis Page slid in on the goalkeeper. So we get to half time. Again, we're all sitting there permutations because Plymouth are losing at this point, and we're thinking, like, Plymouth haven't played well recently, so we're thinking that's going to be that. But obviously we know what happened in the second half of their game. Now the start of the second half, I think we saw Blackburn almost immediately come out of the blocks, and Smallwood bursting through one on one. This is where Lewis Page unfortunately got injured. But he burst through one on one. He saw, I don't know if he was shooting or trying to square it, because it ended up going to the left of Amos's left. I think it was Marshall was back there. Was it to hack it away?
Yeah.
And but at the same time, Lewis Page got injured. So obviously disappointing for Lewis, the world's unluckiest footballer. but that sort of just laid down the marker from Blackburn. So we're not messing around in this second half.
Yeah, and like we all said, we knew they were going to come out and play better. I spent the whole 15 minutes trying to work out how I'd prevent a heart attack in that second half. And then that first 5 minutes, I was like, right, this isn't working. I might just have to leave. But yeah, firstly, obviously, on Lewis Page, it's absolutely gutting, and he's come back in and done such a brilliant job. So hopefully it's not too serious. I've seen him tweet to say he thinks he's going to be all right. So that's good. But yeah, I mean, when it starts like that, and I said to Nafe off air, after about 5 minutes, I just assumed they were going to score, and I just wanted them to just get it done, rather than having to go through this agonising chance after chance after chance, and we concede in the 91st minute. Mm-hmm. Can't they just score early on and we go back to 1-1 and get on with it? But they kept missing and they kept missing, and the longer it goes on, the greyer your hair goes, and it's just it was awful.
Yeah, that's how it used. That's, I mean, Terry's obviously seen a few 91st minute equalisers in his time. I mean, it was, you were just waiting for it to go back to the good old days. And I don't know, Lee Bowyer even said it in my interview yesterday, saying like a month ago, 2 months ago, they would have conceded late on, and just talking about the change in mentality there. So I mean, we knew they were coming out, and then Ben Amos made two saves within the space of not too long from Payne, wasn't it? The first one where the ball had been sort of played backwards to him, and a sliding one, and Amos kept it out, and then barely a minute later, a low cross, Payne at the near post, and that was a superb save, that second one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that, I think that one I've seen back, the one where he sort of hit it up with his wrist. And Tom saying off air, you know, just save it is one thing, but get to distance on that ball from a wrist, it was an amazing save. Did they hit the bar as well? Or am I?
Yeah, that's later on. Oh, yeah, right.
But again, we've obviously gave Ben a load of plaudits, and if you think back to the last few weeks, especially in the clean sheets, how many times has he had a bit of a shaky start, but how many points has he really won us, and how many big saves he's come out? He turned up trumps again yesterday, and. Obviously, I think he got the official man of the match, didn't he? I think Ben Amos.
Oh,
did he? Did he get the official one?
So
yeah, so I think he got the official one. But yeah, you wouldn't take it past him. But he's been, he was superb again yesterday.
Yeah, so half an hour left to play, and it's a double sub, and so they're bringing on Danny Graham, who himself has got, I think, 17 goals this season. And then you're thinking, right, you know, they're not throwing in the towel just yet. That you know, I think Wigan were probably losing to Wimbledon at the time, or perhaps just levelled up. So, you know, they were going to go for it. And I mean, we had a couple of chances on the break. I think Marshall won us a corner, the one that McGuinness sort of got a header on, but didn't really have any power on it. But other than that, I mean, you're still, you know, there was just one point about 20 minutes left where I was just watching Forster Caskey again in the middle of the park. Now, we were trying to keep our shape, but at the same time hold him a little bit higher up the pitch, and Marshall was to Jake Forster Caskey's left about 20 yards deeper than he needed to be, and Forster Caskey was barking at him like, get into position, you know, because Marshall was working hard. He was probably knackered at the same time though, but Forster Caskey sort of pulled him up, got him into position, and then, you know, we're still going, and then they win that corner, 13 minutes left, and it comes over. I'm still not entirely certain who actually won the header. Possibly Payne, I think it was, for Blackburn, but it's hit the crossbar off the line. I was saying, in terms of deserving luck, Amos did deserve that luck, and you know, Reeves did really well to sweep it up as well.
Yeah, and again, it was just another chance that I was just expecting it to go in, but you say about Forster Caskey, like, dragging Marshall forward, and every time when a corner was going in at that end and it was getting cleared, the whole of the North Stand were just screaming at him to come out as well, but that defensive solidity is something we've seen over the last few weeks. I mean, we've kept a clean sheet away at Portsmouth, we've kept a clean sheet away at Shrewsbury, we've kept a clean sheet at home to Blackburn. Three teams in the top, six, seven places. I know Portsmouth have dropped off a little bit. That's not just luck. And yeah, we had to ride our luck a little bit at times in all three of those games, but the defensive discipline, and when I say defensive, I don't just mean those back four either. I mean for every single person in the team to have that, and to have that from a rookie manager and a rookie assistant manager or coach, it is so impressive, and those players deserve such a huge amount of credit for being able to do that. And yeah, we did ride our luck with that shot off the bar, but you know, every single one that missed, it was a step closer to the final whistle.
Yeah, I think Nave mentioned the save from Amos earlier on in the show, where Samuel had that sort of angled drive, and he got I don't even know, his forearm to it, like, just made his arm as strong as possible, locked it away, and got enough power on it to push it wide, and that was a brilliant save. And we nearly killed it off with about 5 minutes left as well. Anyway, it was a superb run from Konza with the 1-2s. I mean, you're just wishing Konza sort of fancied himself there, but left footed drive from the edge of the box, he didn't. But in the end, it came back to Jake, and I thought, for all the world, especially from where we were sitting, it looked like for all the world that was going to go in, didn't it?
Well, I was right behind it, and it was going in, and it was a great save from the keeper. And actually, when you look at the stats and they say only one shot on target, that can't be right, because that Jake shot was definitely going in the left hand corner, no question about it, and a super save from
does Jason Pierce's arse count as a shot? I mean, just hit him and went in, because Cash's shot was going wide.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, no, it so must do, mustn't it?
They have only said it was one shot, though, at all.
So yeah, that's a one shot, yeah, one on
they
target.
They claimed it was only one shot at all.
So well, that can't be right.
Yeah, well, who knows? Who knows? I'm not a statistician.
It doesn't care.
I can't even state statistician. That's not what one. So 7 minutes of added time comes up. Terry's like, yeah, I can take it. But again, we see it out. And, you know, we get to the final whistle. Just the worst news, though, just with Plymouth winning it late on, though. Although Greg's just tweeted in saying, Rotherham gifted Plymouth the win as they would rather play them than have to face us in the playoffs. They're running scared.
They all are.
Yeah, not a bad point that, Greg. But yeah, we hold on. You know, huge relief when that final whistle goes. Like I say, slightly tapered by the fact that Plymouth got that late win. But that's.
But to be fair though, we would have expected Plymouth to win that game before it. I think because they had to win it. And so you'd sort of expect it, and to keep it in our own hands, we had to win. And I don't think too many of us thought it was possible necessarily.
Just a shame that we didn't grab that second goal, especially with like Forster Kask. That would have meant that Jacko would have come on as well.
Good point. Yeah, good point. Well made.
But never mind. Right. So final whistle goes. You're all looking at the table, Nath. I mean, have you got your abacus out trying to work out some permutations? Or?
I mean, obviously we've said that, you know, Scully win. We only need a draw, I think, at Rochdale. But you know, I'm with Bowes in a way. You win both games, you're in the playoffs, and then you just beat you play whoever has been put in front of you. So, but the only difficult thing is that Rochdale gave away their result yesterday again, which means it's put the Predators. They're back in the bottom four now, aren't they? So
but
they can
still
have,
I mean,
it's them and Oldham, isn't it?
If Oldham lose, and both of us only need a point,
yeah.
Just saying,
just tippy tappy.
Point it out there.
Yeah, I think it was at Huddersfield v Barnsley a few years ago. They both needed, I think, to stay in the Championship, or it must be the Championship. Played out the last 10 minutes, just chatting about meat pies in the centre circle. It was embarrassing, but you know, I'm up for a bit of that if we need to do it.
Do you think Bowes will? Do you think Bowes would be like
that?
I don't know. Do you think Bowes would go for the juggler, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think he would.
I don't think it's in his nature not to.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we... We like what we've seen so far from Lee Bowyer. And in fact, I think it's time we probably heard from him as well, because Lee Bowyer, obviously delighted after yesterday's win, came in to speak to Terry here in the Charlton Live studio. Don't forget, if you want to have your say on tonight's show, plenty of tweets and emails have come in so far. You can email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. We're talking about yesterday's game. And of course, we're going to be talking about Johnny Jackson later on in the show as well. This is what Lee Bowyer had to say when he came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's win.
Joined by Lee Bowyer after another pulsating afternoon at the Valley. And a couple of questions, Lee. First, how are your nerves? Like the rest of us, shot?
Our nerves are good. You can always use them positively, nerves. Obviously, if we was under a bit of pressure at the end, but that's always going to happen. You're playing against a team that's just finished second in the league with good players. So there's going to be times when they have a bit of possession and they're going to put balls in the box, but again, we've got another clean sheet and I'm proud of my players yet again. The way they all stood up and was counted as men again, and their togetherness and fight, and then we get the ball down and play. It was a perfect performance. Yeah, we had a bit of luck at times. The goal, bit of luck, and then I think they hit the bar. But there's been times that we've had no luck this season, and it evens itself out, I think. So, but for me, they deserve that luck for the work rate they've put in since I've been in charge. I can't fault them, you know.
Does that all work in? excuse me, my voice is gone. Does that all work in our favour in terms of the feeling around the camp? The bit of luck that we've got, as you say, off the bar, but not just that, is that bodies being thrown in front of balls and everybody just rolling their sleeves up and getting dug in.
Yeah, and that's what you've got to do. You have to do that every game. That's a must every game. You have to fight for every ball. You have to compete for every ball. Because if we do that, then we'll win a lot of most games, because we've got players that can play. We've got at back four can all play. You've got Esri can play, Pagey, Piercy, Pat, little Jay the Silver that's just come on, Anthony Dick Steele, Harry Lennon, like, they're all comfortable on the ball. They can all play football, so we don't just lump it forward. We play. We've got midfielders that can play, all different types of players. So we are the full package, and I've just told the players that. I said, listen, like, I'm proud of you again. I'm standing in. I'm proud to be working with every single one of you. For what you're giving me out there, I can't ask for no more. I said, and I'm telling you now, you go and win Saturday, there's not a team that will want to play us in the playoffs. Not a team. So,
and that belief that seems to have come back into the players since you took over. It you know, from a fan's perspective, looking in, it just makes the heart feel good that you see players giving their all as they have done. And is there a concern though that that there is going to be a sort of brick wall at some point because of the level of commitment and passion and covering every single blade of grass is there for everybody to see? And I suppose I'm just being a negative, pessimistic Charlton fan.
You've already seen the brick wall was Scunthorpe. That was the brick wall. And that was partly my fault because I should have freshened it up. But I think I owed it to the players because they'd gone 4 unbeaten, obviously lost against Wimbledon, so I thought, well, I would get a reaction after the Wimbledon game. But I didn't. They was tired. But since then, we've won 3 from 3. So, and now we've got Saturday. So there's no midweek game. So now they're going to rest again like they did last week. And I'm sure you'll get to see the same work rate that you've just seen there. For example, when you was at Portsmouth, it was the same then. So when you have Saturday, you've got time to recover, the players to recover. Then they can give you that every week. But unfortunately, it's not the case when you go Saturday, Tuesday. So for what they done against Scunthorpe and then went to Shrewsbury, and then went to Portsmouth, the Tuesday Saturday quick turnaround, it was immense what they give us on the Saturday. So they've just done the same again, and they will recover for next Saturday for sure.
And a Fuller Valley, not least to say potentially, although not yet, goodbye to Johnny Jackson because we might have one more. It must have felt great to see the Valley rocking like that again.
I have to thank the fans, you know, I think after the last game I said, like, please just come and support the lads and get behind them and they need it, and they did. And the fans, they did not stop singing again, same as last week at Portsmouth, and you can tell, like, you've got players that are tired out there, Mark Marshall tired, but you are singing and singing and singing, then he will go more, he will go the extra 5 yards, 10 yards. So again, I can only just thank them for their turnout today, and I'm hoping that we get another one.
We had the skipper on the bench, which was great to see. Was there just some small temptation to stick him on instead of Joe Rebo at the end, or does the manager in you just have to take over?
No. We had a discussion beforehand. Jacko is struggling with his Achilles, but we tried to. I said to him, like, if we couple up, two up, then yeah, for sure, put him on. He deserves it, you know. To do 8 years at a club, there's not many players that are doing that now, so he deserves everything he got today. So I would love to have put him on, but he can't really move as freely as he probably could if he wasn't fit, so it was too risky. Otherwise we'd have put him on, it would have been perfect for the perfect day, like the atmosphere, the place was bouncing, it was great, like just a perfect day really.
And we have to have a word towards the end of the... Well, first, my second question was going to be, how lucky is Jason Pearce's backside for us to be in the way for that deflection?
Yeah, shouldn't go on a diet, should he? But again, like, he deserved that, you know, because... who was it? Bristol Rovers. He was unlucky. Like, it was an innocent mistake. Mm-hmm. So, that little bit of unfortunate... like that we had at Bristol Rovers, he just got repaid. So it's someone.
But there were a couple of times actually, well, not more than a couple actually, a few times in the game where the odd unfortunate slip could have cost us. But the levels of intensity for players to get back and cover was just immense.
And do you know what that is? That's a togetherness, and that's a fight, and everybody wanting the same reward. And every time we step into that dressing room, every time we step onto the training pitch, we're all in the same place, and for me to see everything and everyone, the whole club is in a good place at the moment, and that makes me so happy.
Long may that continue, of course. And we ought to, before we finish, Bo, just ask about Lewis Page. Do we know the extent? Probably the unluckiest man on the planet.
Yeah. When he came off, Jacko said, "You wouldn't want to be sitting next to him on an aeroplane, would you?" So, no, he's unlucky, Page. He's like, what can I say? I don't know the extent, but basically, he's got a big gash above his knee. So obviously, like when he's gone to block the shot, someone else has done the same, and it's just caught. He's just unlucky.
So it's actually a cut rather than...
It's a cut, yeah. Okay. Well, but it's a bad one.
Okay.
So I think something to do with the bone, you can see the bone. Ooh. Or something. So it's not a good one. But he's just unlucky. What can I say? I feel so sorry for him because he's not played much football since he's been at the club and he had a run of games and then I've just stuck with him like, keep going. And so I feel really sorry for him, but he'll be back again soon and...
Well, you must be pleased going into the last game of the season. It's in our hands, as you've always wanted it to be. Yeah. Win against Rochdale, and depending on what happens Tuesday, of course, but a win would almost certainly put us there or thereabouts into the playoffs, so you must be delighted with that.
Yeah, yeah. Like from when I first took over, I said the most important thing is to get the playoffs. And obviously, a lot of people didn't think that would happen, but we've fought and hung in there and showed a togetherness, and it's in our hands, and we can't ask for no more. So I'm sure we'll be ready for Saturday and they're putting our bodies on the line again. Well, they will.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's been flicked on by McGuinness.
Yes! And it's in! And out of nothing, Charlton are ahead. It was a long ball forward by Ben Amos, flicked on by Josh McGuinness. But Jose was away and left-footed. Out came Luke McGee. And Jose slotted it past him into the open net. And as you say, a cagey start. I thought either team would be happy going in at 0-0. But out of nothing, Charlton have taken the lead, Terry.
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. On your Sunday evening, a packed studio here at the Valley, we've got Nathan Muller, Talisman Tom and Terry Smith. And myself, Louis Mendes, looking back at yesterday's fantastic 1-0 win over Blackburn Rovers here that puts us right on the precipice of being in the playoffs. But we're not there yet, but we could be effectively there on Tuesday, but without actually being there on Tuesday. I mean, it's all very simple, just keep up. But yeah, we just heard there from Lee Bowyer. Chatting to you, Terry, in good spirits, made a couple of jokes, didn't
yeah, a couple yeah. of crackers, yeah. which sometimes are unexpected. Yeah. But the one about Lewis Page was yeah. was funny.
Yeah.
He's every right to be buoyant, isn't he? I mean, you'd never normally tell with Lee Bowyer. He doesn't normally show his emotions too readily. But he said from the outset, and he didn't. A lot of people went, "Yeah, really?" When he said, "No, you know, playoffs, and that's what with the talent we've got, that's what I expect." And we've gone on what is it? Six wins, one draw, and three and two losses. So that didn't look likely before he took over at all.
You mentioned there when he first joined and started saying, you know, we're definitely going to be in the playoffs, even though we're 5 points shy. Everyone was sort of going, well, I'm not too sure about that. Now I'm starting to believe him when he says there's not a team that we won't beat over two legs. There's not a team who want to play us, according to Lee Bowyer. And you can see why with the run that we're on at the moment.
Well, I think also when you consider that we've played Shrewsbury, we've played and beaten Plymouth. teams like Rotherham and Scunthorpe who beat us are now looking at us thinking, well, they're a different side.
And we beat Rotherham, didn't we? Scunthorpe's the only team that's beat us. So
I thought Rotherham beat us at their place. No, I'm thinking somebody else. Yeah, you're right. But they'll all be looking at us and the form we're in and the reports coming out, thinking we don't fancy them. We'd rather not. You know, we'd rather be playing somebody else.
Yeah, and you can certainly see that. I mean, it was interesting, actually. I just retweeted one of Richard's stories, an interview with Nicky Ajose that he put out during the week, because I only read it myself this morning. But he was asked about some of the key differences between Carl Robinson and Lee Bowyer. Was Nicky Ajose a couple of things? He sort of said, you know, there's no favourites now, which of course, you know, Ajose is very much frozen out under Robinson. And if Ajose feels it's because he wasn't one of the favourites, I mean, that's an interesting comment. He also says that, and I mean, we could all point this out, but he says that Lee Bowyer talks a lot less and makes things a lot simpler than Carl Robinson did. And I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, you know, even with injuries, you know, when Carl would come in with a full medical history for the last 5 years, Lee comes in and said he's hurt his leg. I mean, is that sort of thing? Tactics seem a lot simpler, you know, rotating players who aren't playing well. It's all that sort of stuff. And it seems we've almost gone back to basics a little bit. And you know, Jose also said that Lee's much more of a one-on-one man manager as well.
Yeah, I think he's completely right. He's just gone back to basics, and basics doesn't mean that he hasn't got the tactical nous to do the job or anything like that. It's just about keeping things simple. He's got players in their right positions. He changed the formation when the formation we were playing previously clearly didn't work. And he's given people simple instructions. And I go back to that Wimbledon game, which, OK, we lost that game. But because as away fans you stand so close, you can see what he says to them during the game. And they're very basic things. And it's just making sure that players do their job, know what their job is, and then carry it out. And like we just said off air there, the confidence that he's managed to breed through that squad, it is so, so strong now. And you get the feeling that they don't really know how to lose a game at the moment. And like I say, yesterday, okay, we rode our luck at times, but it didn't go in. Now, part of that's luck, but part of that's down to their hard work as well. And yeah, he's just built a fantastic atmosphere. And he said it then, the club is in a good place at the moment. And that's despite the fact that the owner's still the owner. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about what's happening on the pitch. And that's all down to him and his players.
I mean, if you think about, Nathan, the last few weeks of Carl's tenure, where there was a lot of excuses about, you know, the takeover's dragging on, players don't know about their future. I mean, that's still exactly the same. Yeah. But, I mean, that's not being portrayed in the performances on the pitch at all now, is it?
No, and we said it at the time. Yeah, it could, you know, some people can use it as an excuse, but they're a bunch of footballers, they're professionals, and, you know, and I think Mads said it on one of the Love Sports shows, where at the end of the day, they might be out of contract, but they've got to put in a performance, A, to either get a new contract here or find a contract elsewhere, so... There's no, you know, I can't see any of them sulking about and stuff. And obviously, proof is in the pudding that, which I said on Twitter yesterday, it shows what if you'll put a shift in and all you'll work together and believe in yourselves, which I think Tom said a number of times on this show, that if we had the swagger that we do now earlier in the season, we might not be caught, you know, be chasing the playoffs now. We should be a lot higher. But it's great. And like I said, it's just a nice, it's just refreshing just to see the change. Because, I mean, you look back to the beginning of March. I would have laughed at it if you said we'd be in a position now, because we were sort of miles away, weren't we? But yeah, it's been lovely.
I mean, Terry, do you think that the way that Bowyer sort of settled into the role, that he's getting more comfortable in it and thinking, you know, because we've asked him a few times now about whether he'd be thinking about doing this full time, and he's still very non-committal after the Portsmouth game last week. But do you think, you know, that the further he gets into it and the further he's doing well, he might just be thinking, well, you know, I'd love to have a swing at this at the start of next season.
I think I remember him saying that the very first time I spoke to him, let's wait and see where we finish, and whether or not this is just a flash in the pan, or where he might not himself. I think he also doesn't know whether he'll enjoy it himself. Because it is, I'm sure it is quite a pressured role compared to what he was doing before. You know, everything is about his decisions, and he'll fail or succeed on those decisions. So, but he seems, as the way he played, he attacks management, and you know, he's attacking it with everything he's got, and he's prepared to change things up. He freely admits that the two games we lost was because he didn't do that. Even though he felt he should, but he wanted to be, he wanted to give the players that got him there the chance to A, carry on winning, and then B, try and redeem themselves when they lost against Wimbledon. So he admits now that was a a mistake, probably a mistake by him, and that's why we didn't win him. So, you know, he's learning on the job, I suppose, as well. Mm. But it's, I think it's just his character as well. I think when players look at him and he tells them straight what he expects, what they're doing wrong, and what they've got to do right. And I think he said, I don't think it was this week, it might have been last week, where he says, you know, that effort, that commitment is the minimum I expect.
I see Nathan's just got swept up in the momentum yeah. of the show because he's just tweeted that he's just booked his train to Rochdale.
And the hotel as well.
Where are you staying? Where are you staying?
The same one you text me.
Oh, God.
I bet that ain't even the one, is it?
Yeah, no, we're not even going. Yeah, yeah.
I'm in some dingy B&B like you did in Bristol.
Excellent stuff, Nathan. That means you can come out. You know it's George Jones' birthday.
Yeah, no, so yeah.
We're all doing that.
Are you up there as well,
oh,
Charles?
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Excellent, excellent
the Guinness
stuff.
Is flowing.
Right. Great to hear, like I say, from Lee Bowyer then. Did mention that, as per what Johnny Jackson said when Lewis Page was coming off, that, you know, Lewis Page is so unlucky, you don't want to get onto an aeroplane and see you sat in the seat next to him. Which is probably a fair point. Right, let's have a look at the tweets then. Don't forget, if you want to have your say on yesterday's game, and of course the legend that is Johnny Jackson, because we're going to be paying a homage to him later on in the show, you can email studio at charltonlive.co.uk. you can tweet us at Charlton Live. Freddie Wells yesterday tweeted, he said he got slightly starstruck when he spotted some of the Charlton Live crew at the Valley today. I wonder which one he's talking about. It's got to be Nath.
No,
is it? I reckon so. I'm starstruck.
Did he say hello to you?
Didn't say hello.
Didn't say hello, did you? Yeah, no. Oh, Liberty.
Tell us
Liberty.
Where you were.
Yeah, I reckon.
Was he in the tree with binoculars?
Yeah, every time I see Nathan.
Because they're scary.
Yeah,
that's why he didn't come and say hello. That was me, by the way.
Every time I see Nathan, I get a little bit starstruck. So I reckon that's who it was. Right, Peter White says it was a crucial win and just the final hurdle to overcome now before the playoffs. Agree with Lee Bowyer that no one will fancy us being the form. Team, it's just interesting. It's just a final hurdle to overcome now, because I mean, obviously we're all going to be glued to the TV. Although Lee Bowyer won't be on Tuesday watching this Scunthorpe versus Plymouth game. Now, you know, if we talk about permutation, so Terry was chatting off air saying like, well, it depends how greedy we want to be if we want to finish fifth or sixth. Now, I don't care about whether we finish fifth or sixth. I'll take them all on. I don't care who we play in the semi-final. We've got to play someone. So I just want to be in the playoffs, and I'd probably rather enjoy my day on the way up to Rochdale rather than have a heart attack on the way there. So I just want a comfortable Scunthorpe win. If Scunthorpe win 2-0, Plymouth will be, what, 6 or 7 goals behind us and 3 points behind us, and we'd have to have a spectacular collapse, and they'd have to have a very big win on the final day. So, I mean, Peter White's talking about the final hurdle there. I mean, say it does go to the last day. I mean, if Plymouth win, there's a chance we might have to win at Rochdale, and they will have possibly to get a result to stay up. So that's the sort of annoyance I could do without, really.
Yeah, and I think for me, I do want to finish fifth. I want to play Rotherham rather than Shrewsbury, so it does matter. But you're right, at the end of the day, if we get there and we play Shrewsbury, I'm not going to complain. The important thing is that we get there. Like you, I'd take a Scunthorpe win probably, because it eases the pressure a little bit. But Bowyer's got and I think he said it in the interview there, he's just going to ignore it, focus on us, because if we win next week, then it doesn't matter anyway. So he's just got to focus on that, make sure the teams focus on that as well. I'm sure they're going to have half an eye on the game on Tuesday night. But you're right, no one's going to want to play us, and it goes for Rochdale on Saturday as well as whoever we get should we make the playoffs. We're that team at the moment. We're the team that are in form. And yeah, we've got those two defeats, but they stand out as anomalies, really, because aside from that, we've just been unbelievable. And no one's going to want to play us.
Stephen tweeted in saying, I didn't think we bossed the game, but we really put in a shift 100% from everybody, including the covered end. And we haven't even mentioned the covered end and the whole ground yesterday. I mean, it's something I haven't seen for a long while. When we got to about a minute or two of normal time left, and I turned to my left, everyone who could in the covered end was on their feet. And I just don't see that these days.
Yeah.
Just willing them home, and what a job they did. All around the ground, the atmosphere was absolutely superb. Other than that one bloke who didn't like McGinnis behind you, Terry.
Oh, mate, I don't know where he came from, but he spent the whole game, and if you were listening to commentary, you'd have picked up on it, just slagging off every single Charlton player, especially McGinnis. I mean, McGinnis obviously...
can't play something.
McGinnis obviously kicked his away cat from at some point. But, pretty much every single time. I mean, the only one who got away with it possibly was Foster Kessie. I think he's the only one I didn't hear him slag off. Everybody else, he was having a pop at. It was quite bizarre.
Yeah, I just wonder if he might have been a Millwall fan. He's decided
there was
to...
There was quite a few people with normal tickets didn't know where they were going yesterday. Yeah. In the North Lower anyway. But that was Ramo, wasn't it? We're in I'd love to have seen. I mean, obviously, we're right in the middle of it, and it sounds incredible. Where you guys are up in the press box, I'd love to have just see it and hear it. Because there's a video that was going around I think someone put on Twitter yesterday, it was absolutely blinding.
Like I said, my mates were in the Blackburn end, and they said it was the, because they've been to see Charlton a few times, obviously with me being a fan, they said it was the loudest it's been for ages. Absolutely ages.
Yeah, it was, the atmosphere was absolutely brilliant. This place is like, and Matt Broad sums it up here actually, said it felt like the old Valley, a good buzz around the ground, all topped off by another good performance. Amos played a blinder, but man of the match for me was Marshall. Best game I've ever seen him play this season. Was all over the pitch and saved us at the back as well. Great show, lads. Cheers for that. Matt, yeah, I mean, we mentioned Marshall. I mean, it's just all over the place. And I always look forward to when Marshall comes into a press conference after, because he's such a genuine bloke as well, and a real nice chap to have a chat with. But I mean, he did his talking on the pitch yesterday as well, and I thought, like I say, you know, that's what we know he does do. You know, he doesn't always have the final product, or perhaps the ability that Fosu's shown. He's got the ability. I saw him doing it last season for Bradford. He has got that ability, but perhaps hasn't hit quite the heights that he should have. But he makes up for it in work rate. And this is Charlton Athletic. You make up for any downfall in work rate, then you'll be fine.
Yeah, 100%. And I said it earlier in the show, I think we'd all like to see a little bit more from him in an attacking sense. And when you're up against Tariq Fosu and for large parts of the season Ricky Holmes, we've got wingers there that we're used to seeing get forward, take players on, score goals. He hasn't done that, and I'm sure he'll be the first to admit that as well, because as you say, he's a very honest, open sort of player, and I think he'll know that he could do more going forward. But the work he puts in back, you can't understate that, because he's kept us in games time and time again, and as Terry said earlier, particularly when we've got different people coming in at right back, whether it's Jick Steele or Konza, it's not someone who's been there for years like Chris Solly. It's just so necessary, and not every player can do it, you know, even on the other side. I mean, Ben Reeves worked hard yesterday, but he doesn't offer the same cover. Ricky didn't used to offer the same cover. Tariq maybe a little bit more, but Marshall was just unreal yesterday.
Robert Wagcon, what is our confirmed allocation for Rochdale? If it's 730, they must almost all be gone. Can we get more? I mean, if you've been to Rochdale before, we get given the side of the ground opposite to where the press are. And, I mean, no one else sits in that stand. So if we wanted that whole stand, they'd give it to
us. They'll give it to us, yeah. I think it'll depend on how the sales go this week. So I think we get an initial allocation. And if we're looking close to selling out, then we can get another one. And then if that looks to selling out, then we get the whole side. So, but I do know there are difficulties in getting back because of the time of the kickoff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Well, as Nathan has sort of mentioned, there's no trains back, so everyone's got to stay at my specific hotel, apparently.
In your room.
Yeah.
Isn't that where everyone's staying then?
Yeah, I hope not. Well, no, I just booked a random hotel.
Oh, right. I thought that's what everyone was staying.
No, everyone's just staying all over the place.
No, we're staying at a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Four stars.
Yeah, ours got a spa on it and everything. Yeah, and a jacuzzi.
How much did you? You're not coming in that with me, Nath. How much did you? How much did you pay for your?
The hotel was £99.
Ah, 67.
And then my train was £78. So it's £200 spent in about 3 minutes. I think that's a record.
Yeah,
that'd be annoying when we lose 5-0.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I ain't even got a match ticket yet.
Because it'd be horrible.
I'm just standing in Manchester Piccadilly for about 6 hours.
Garmy says, has tweeted us showing footage showing the Charlton Live team celebrating at the final whistle and a message for miserable Mo Ray. And it's a gif of us dancing. Well, it's not us, but some lads dancing around. It says, deal with it. Will Bolland, I'm sure we all know what's coming here. Also, all of you in the studio know the words by now. All together, keep the faith.
Rob O'Rell. I know, that's London in the Geezer, that one.
Yeah, well, guess who's up next? London in the Geezer. Says,
Rob O'Rell.
Yeah, no, it's a special mention for Mark Marshall yesterday. He was everywhere, chased, harried, he tackled. People slate him, but he's proper Charlton for me. P.S. We wouldn't have won that under Carl Robinson. No, he didn't really say that.
I think he did say on Twitter yesterday.
he probably would have. Now, Brian said, I had to ask the fourth official to confirm the 7 minutes 3 times, as I thought he must have got that wrong, because Brian Cole had to announce it. I've always wondered, so saying the fourth official is going to show 7 minutes and he shows it on the board, but Brian goes, 3 minutes? I mean, surely, peer pressure, they'd only play 3 minutes.
You would hope.
No.
No, okay, well, it's just a thought.
I mean, once I sort of thought about it, we had all 6 subs, so that's, what, 3 minutes, isn't it?
Pagey was down for a while.
Pagey must have been down for a good 3 or 4. So when I thought back, at the time I thought, you're having a laugh, but when I thought about it back afterwards, I thought, actually, it's probably about right.
Yeah. Right, Martin says, thought the midfield four were phenomenal yesterday. Their work rate, especially Reeves and Marshall, was unreal. Paddy and Pierce were excellent, and Blackburn back four were worked hard by Josh and Ajoze too. He says, agree with Tel, Marshall was the man of the match. I mean, we haven't really mentioned just how solid we're looking now We talked about a lot about Jason Pearce, but I thought Patrick Bauer yesterday, and now, and I remember at the, I think it was the start, it must have been the start of this season, they went to Ireland, didn't they, the start of this season, and there was one of the, they stuck a couple of the games up on YouTube, and we were playing some like pub team or something, and Bauer made a bit of a mistake, and I think I tweeted at the time saying like, he does make mistakes, Bauer, but he's really cut the majority of those out this season. I think the only one I can remember is the goal at Wimbledon, where it was a slip rather than a mistake. But I think he's been much improved this season, and especially now he's got this little partnership with Piercy together. You know, they've looked really solid. I mean, no goals conceded in three, and what, two goals conceded in five? I think
I'd like to see these stats, but I think every other centre half plays better with Pierce alongside him.
Yeah.
I don't know the stats, I've got no idea, but I just seem to remember Konsa playing better alongside Jason Pearce. I remember Naby Sarr playing better. Do you know what I mean? So there's a common denominator here.
Yeah, I mean, Martin said that Marshall was the man of the match. Paul said he can't see past Amos, myself, and then the two centre-halves after that. Now, Paul Griffiths tweeted in yesterday, was yet another simply amazing performance by the entire team and the entire crowd. The reason we managed to win that was because of everyone. The lads gave everything. Was still singing Lee Bowyer's Red and White Army all the way down the A3. Going back to Portsmouth, Paul would have been. Obviously, after last week's defeat for Pompey against us, they went up to Bury yesterday, already relegated, and they lost 1-0. And if you see the goal they conceded, it's just one of those ones that, as a goalkeeper, basically the goalkeeper had the ball at his feet, thought, I'm going to take it round this guy. And the guy went, nope, and just dunked it in. Very, very enjoyable. And that's why they're not in the playoffs, because they're not as good as us. Right, Martin... Martin, same with Paul, no one could argue with that about Amos's said, but he felt that Marshall was better defensively and offensively. Jimmy Seed, we had two shots on target, the JFK, that's what he's put, the JFC one near the end that bought a good save from the keeper being the second. But now that's why I'm saying I don't think our goal possibly doesn't count as a shot on target. Does a deflection count as a shot on target?
Good point, I don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows. So we don't know. Right, London Iggy's and no one to make signings. All right, talking about the future of the club. No one to make signings, sort out the contracts off the pitch, a shambles. All the good work done by Bowyer could end up for nothing. I mean, amazing. If we get up into the Championship next season, but we're still under Roland, you know, any amount of time into the summer, because most people would be planning for next year already. You know, you have a list of players for the Championship and a list of players for League One. Then it could very much be a very difficult season next season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, if that's the case. I'm just trying not to think about that, because if we get to Wembley, we want to enjoy it, irrespective of what's going to happen next year. Let's just live for now and enjoy now. And if we get up, it'll be such a remarkable achievement. Yeah, there's going to then be a hell of a lot of work. And the club is, as I said earlier, the club has still currently got that owner. There are a lot of issues going on behind the scenes, but let's just ride the wave of the victories and what we're seeing on the pitch at the moment, and we'll deal with that as and when it happens, I think.
Yeah, Dan said, buzzing from yesterday, hangover's finally gone, love the commentary, Terry. We have to make the playoffs now, surely. Last game of the season, finally finished on a high for once. Wembley 2018 is our time.
Appreciate that, by the way. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and then he says, great finish at the end of the season. We will surely go and beat Rochdale and make the playoffs. My only worry is that players' contracts running out, loans going back. We have nothing to rebuild with currently no funds. And that's exactly what Mike was responding to. So Michael said, we even had a decent ref yesterday. Everything fell into place. And I think you can count the amount of times that's happened this season on one end. But yeah, I thought he looked a decent referee yesterday. Right, quick break. We'll get on to the emails. And then don't forget, at the end of the show, we are paying homage to Johnny Jackson. We want to hear your favourite memories of the skipper. He's been here for 8 years, 278 appearances, 55 goals over that time. So let us know your favourite Johnny Jackson memory. Studio at charltonlive.co.uk. Or you can tweet us at Charlton Live or head over to the Charlton Live forum.
Dennis is fed in, lovely touch, goes around his player, chips across the box, Jackson, oh yes, what a goal by Johnny Jackson, arriving late in the box, Holmes Dennis with a pinpoint cross, and the skipper's given Charlton the lead.
Charlton Live. Welcome back to Charlton Live. You may notice we're now one member of the team down. Nathan, who a few moments ago booked his hotel for the Rochdale game, has just realised he's booked it for tonight.
And so he's on his way because he's getting his money's worth.
So that's why he's now left the studio to try and get his £99 back. which is £33 more, or £23 more than I spent anyway, and he's booked it for tonight. One more on.
It's going to be a fun trip.
Yeah. Right, BFF on the Charlton Life Forum. Really impressed with Lee Bowyer. Sensible, clear management, down to earth. Everything you can say about Bowyer, you can't say about Nathan. Sensible, clear management, down to earth, honest, encouraging players to put in effort and commitment. Press conferences, you look to listen to, a breath of fresh air. It says a great positive show, really good listeners enjoying it. Cheers for that, VFF. I'm glad you are. It's very easy to be positive when we're about to get promoted. CHD, very obvious. I was talking about Jacko. We'll save that for later on then, because we will be talking about Jacko. Right, a couple of DMs came in as well. Great win today, says Phil. He sent it yesterday. The back four were magnificent. Amos is a must sign for next season. At long last, Marshall looks a real player. If the new owners were watching on, Lee Bowyer must be given the job if he wants it. Lastly, the fans were unreal. Get some flags in the upper north for next season. A proper Bundesliga atmosphere. Cheers for that, Phil, for the DM. And Lawrence says, first game back at the Valley in a long time. I took my seat in the North Upper with the intention of seeing a hard-fought draw and saying goodbye to my favourite player, JJ. However, I found myself swept up in the feeling of my old Charlton Athletic. Under Lee Bowyer, we've become a team proud to wear the shirt and will fight for everything, shown by my man of the match, Mark Marshall. All I've ever wanted from any Charlton team was effort, something which I saw lots of yesterday. We worked so hard as a team and defensively looked sound. With a little help from Pierce's right butt cheek, we came out victorious in a match where both teams probably didn't shine the brightest. I think, barring a major slice of misfortune, we are in the playoffs. I trust Lee Bowyer will equip his team well, and we will do everything we can to secure a Wembley victory 20 years on from that famous victory that we all love to remember. As for Charlton, I've fallen back in love with the club, and I will be back next season as a regular, home and away, as my job will allow. Please prepare for my season ticket application. That's great to see, Lawrence. I mean, if it could just all fall into place at the same time, there's so much potential in this club to rebuild again, because Lee Bowyer, over the last few weeks, has brought a crowd back, hasn't he? He's brought the fans, he's brought the belief back. Now, we know there's plenty of people out there who won't come back until Roland's gone, but, I mean, hopefully.
I think, yeah, and I think yesterday you got to also understand that it was helped by the fact that people came to say goodbye to Jacko from a playing point of view. So I think that assisted in the numbers that were there in the first place. But as the last last tweet, was it, that mentioned about came to say goodbye to Jacko, but actually got all swept up in the fact that we were winning and playing really well and commitment was there. And I think that's something that I think a lot of Charlton fans have seen missing in previous years, you know, that. But obviously in the early years of the current owner's tenure, we had players who were just mercenaries, for want of a better word, just coming over for a paycheck and not really committed to the cause. And you certainly can't say that about the group of players we've got out there now.
Right, let's have a look at some emails. Samuel Spong's the first one, says, hope again. The spirit of the players on Saturday was something I haven't seen since the days of Chrissy Powell. Regardless of how this season ends, this is my first summer at Charlton where a massive overhaul of the squad isn't needed, an overhaul which Roland never did. It feels like the club are back. I had to actually queue to get into the ground for once, which hasn't happened in a long time, and the cupboard end was packed. We've got a formula of success now, so bring on next season, whichever league we're in. Right, Nath, how are you getting on? Did you sort it out?
Well, yeah, I cancelled it.
Yeah.
And then if I wanted to change it to Saturday, it's £170.
Oh. So now what are you going
to
do?
Probably stay in a homeless shelter or something. Although I'll have to do a premiere in after the show. What a numpty. Sorry, boys.
That's all right. It was quite funny. Right, Mark Cox says that yesterday's phenomenal win has to go down as the best of the season and arguably the best for several years, taking into account both the opposition and the importance of the match with Scunny and Plymouth breathing down our necks. Surely a playoff spot will now be deservedly ours, but whatever happens, Lee Bowyer should be roundly applauded for putting pride back into the club, just as Chris Powell did when he took over several years ago. Roland, on the other hand, deserves no credit whatsoever, as it was a total fluke that Lee Bowyer ended up in charge at the 11th hour. Fantastic send-off for JJ, one of Chris's men, too. Let's hope he can end his playing career with promotion to the Championship. The team is finally playing with bands of passion again, and so now anything is possible. Come on, you Reds. Chris Davin says, we're on our way. Performance of the season for me. Had to dig deep on the defensive for the whole of the second half. Backs to the wall, proper Charlton, and we pulled through every player, put in a shift. The atmosphere was brilliant. Just a pity it takes until the 92nd minute for the East and West stands to join in. If Robinson was still in charge, we'd have lost 2-1. Boya has the lads playing in the Boya way. Get stuck in, chase every lost cause, give everything. Post-match in the Oak was bonkers, singing and chanting till 10 p.m. It's a real positive feel about the place. The one shame is that we matched Blackburn throughout, despite injuries, which proves our small squad, etc., was nonsense, and we should be in the top two and not the top six. People diss me, but I said that Roland was bad news from day one. I said Robinson was a bad appointment, and that Kai Kai is bad news. I'm Nostradamus, me. We are going up. He says, P.S. The Oak is the pub to be in on match day, singing, chanting, proper chaos. Now, that Kai Kai thing has just reminded me of something I mentioned yesterday, Till. So my other half, Amy, is a teacher in Beckenham, so quite near Palace's training ground, her school. So they get in PE teachers.
Must be a tough gig.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, especially they have to do the football in the community with them. and they get in PE teachers from the local area. So it's not just, isn't there not people who work at the school? They go around and coach different schools. So there's this one lad who came in and knows that Amy's a Charlton fan, and said, "How's Charlton doing?" And Amy said, "Oh, she's doing pretty well." And then she went, "Oh, how's Silly Kai Kai getting on?" And Amy went, "Oh, rubbish. Don't like him." And this guy went, "Oh, he's one of my mates."
No, oops.
Whoops. Right, Mark Newbury. Evening, chaps. Can I unclench yet? It depends what you're doing, Mark. That was a terrific game, except for a good 20 minutes in the second half when we were under the cosh and it got a bit hairy. And if not for some amazing saves and hard work in defence, we would be going into the last game hoping for help. But it's in our own hands, and that's all you can ask for. I thought the crowd did our bit with a great noise level, and I think it did help the boys. Marshy, player of the first half, and Amos, definitely player of the second half, but it was a fitting tribute to Jacko, as they all showed grit, determination, heart and spirit. The attributes are skipper personified. Agree with Boya that no one will fancy playing us, even Scunny, though they've beaten us twice this season. I don't think that we will make the same mistakes again. Right, excellent stuff. I think we're going to have a quick break here, because the last 15 minutes of the show is going to be dedicated to a very special man. And I think you know who that man is.
Johnny Jackson! Is it?
Yes!
Get
Johnny Jackson!
Woohoo!
Charlton Live.
There we go. We just heard one of his most infamous moments in the red and white Charlton Athletic. That was his late winner against QPR back in 2014, you know, when Charlton were in all sorts of trouble down the bottom of the Championship. And I think in the programme yesterday, they defined that as possibly his career, like they said that was possibly his career defining moment in a Charlton shirt, because it sort of summed up everything that Johnny Jackson's about for me, you know. But at the same time, a lot of people, we make out a lot about hard work, determination, passion, doing it for the shirt. I mean, that's what Jacko's about. But people forget that he's a bloody good player as well. And if you look at the quality he showed in those two free kicks, for example, against both the Sheffield clubs, I mean, you know, he wasn't just like a, you know, a passion and a hard work and grit and determination. He's been a great player for us over these last 8 years.
Yeah, and I remember when he first came in, he played left back, didn't he? And he's played all over that. We had that season, obviously, when we went up. We had that relationship with Royce, and he seems to have played all over. But yeah, he wears.
You might need to clear that up.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Actually, working, just thought that. Yeah, working colleagues.
Only a rumor.
But like you say, Lou, he's won us so many points in. You know, and I was watching the goal montage on the big screen yesterday, and he scored so many important goals, penalties, and, you know, free kicks, like you say, against the Sheffield clubs. The QPR one was my favourite, and he just epitomised the club, and he's just grown in it. And he said about Chris Powell giving him the captain's armband instead of Matt Taylor, I think it was at the time, and he's obviously just gone strength to strength, and I can only envisage him being here for a fair few years, and I'm glad that we've actually got someone that we can relate to, because he's seen it all with us. You know, he's had the good times, but we've had quite a lot of bad times as well.
Yeah, Mark tweeted in saying, "If it's a special man, don't let Tom talk, otherwise it's 15 minutes of Freddie Alvestad." which is for the best. Now, Charlton have had a handful of excellent players throughout the years. I mean, obviously, we were plenty of players who, you know, great players, great you know, footballers, and as I was saying, Jacko certainly earned that reputation with some of the performances he's put in over the years. Some, like I say, those free kick goals in particular show that he wasn't just he was a craftsman as well. He was an excellent footballer. Now, not everyone will get the reputation that Jacko gets, because it's not only about being a great footballer and someone who gives it their all on the pitch, because your relationship between the fans and the player, and particularly when you think of all the crap that's gone on over here over the last 4 years. But to be the sort of man that Johnny Jackson's been off the pitch. Now, those of us who do this sort of stuff, we're lucky that we get to interact with him. We know what he's like to deal with. And you think of the way he deals with any supporters or people who've, Charlton fans who's gone through a tough time. How many stories have you heard of Charlton fans who's going through a bit of a tough time, illness or whatever, and Jacko's there doing something for him, giving him a signed shirt, going to speak to him, going to visit people in hospital, that sort of stuff. Or whether it is just, buying beers on the train home. I mean, my friend Martin Flynn loves telling the story of when he was on the train back from Rochdale a few years ago, and I think Jacko was on the phone to Five Live at the time on 606, and people found out he was buying beers, and everyone then suddenly descended on like the refreshments carriage. But here's the way he interacts with Charlton fans and people around the club, and his man management surely of the players as well. Everyone, no one has a bad word about Johnny Jackson, and that's what makes him more than just the player he was on the pitch.
Yeah, he just gets it. He completely gets it. It's very difficult. I don't really know what to say, partly because it's all been said before, and partly because I don't think there are. I just can't find the right words. It's one of them things, like when you're a football fan, you have that relationship with your club for life, but there are very few players that you're going to have that with, especially these days. And I think about the relationships I have at work or family. There aren't many of them that last as long as the relationship with him, and it's very difficult. Yesterday was difficult to see him hang his boots up. And the stuff off the pitch is why everyone refers to him as skipper, because he's not just the captain of the team, he's the captain of the club, and you feel like you know him. And we do get to interact with him slightly more than your standard average football fan, but at the same time I almost feel like they know him just as well as we do because of everything that he does. He's just the perfect captain. There's nothing bad I can say about him. And I just, like Naif, just hope he's here for many years to come. But there's just nothing bad about him. Everything on and off the pitch is just phenomenal.
Terry, in particular, you have a very good relationship with Jacko because of doing your interviews with the club. Now, I remember when we got relegated from the Championship up at Bolton, and that was one of the loneliest interviews we've ever done. It's just you, me and Jacko. And I didn't ask a question because I couldn't. I was not in a good state of mind. But just to see close up how disappointed Jacko was that we'd gone down that day in particular, and that's when it really hit home how much he cares about the club.
There's been a few instances like that, and Tom was absolutely right. A lot of people have said a lot of lovely things, and most of the stuff we'd only just be repeating because he has that connection with every single Charlton fan, and that's the measure of the man and the mark of the man, is that everybody thinks as Jacko as a friend, not just as a club captain, and that's the impact he's had here. And it's not just, when he arrived, back in 2010, wasn't it? He was cover for Grant Baisley, I think, when he got injured initially, and then we brought him back in full time. And Chris Powell has done very few things wrong in connection with Charlton, and so if he trusted him to be a captain, it was there was a reason for it, and he's proved it handsomely ever since. And we had the good times, and him lifting the Championship trophy under Chris Powell, and we were on a crest of a wave. But what I think has made Johnny Jackson at Charlton is his reaction and his still affinity for the fans through the tough times. And there's been a few cases, and I haven't got time to read them all out because other people want to get in, it's their show and they should. But the one occasion when we got absolutely tonked by Watford away, 5-0 I think it was, just before Guy Luzon, who shouldn't have been in the country, and he walked past behind the camera as we were doing the interview. And he came out to me at that point, and he said, "I see this as my club, And it wasn't just about the loss of that particular loss. It was the whole chaos that was going around the club at the time and behind the scenes. And he just came out and he gave us a hug. Me and Pete Finch were there and he just gave us a hug and said, you know, it's bad for me and I feel terrible with what's going on and I still see this as my club, but I know this is your club and I feel for you guys. And that immediately, you realise then that he gets it and he gets us.
Yeah,
and there's been loads of instances ever since. And on a personal level, just quickly before everybody else gets in, is that within a very short space of time of me doing this, and it almost coincides with him being coming to the club as well, doing this sort of thing, is that there are only two people that have been associated with this club in terms of management and players. They all know who I am, and they all shake my hand, and they all say hello. But only two people have actually gone out of their way to know my name.
Mm.
Chris Powell's one and Johnny Jackson's the other. And I'm not just talking about eventually, over like a period of 2 years. I mean immediately. He made a point of knowing, of asking who I was and what my name was, and same with Pete Finch. So that shows a mark of respect that you can't teach.
I only learned your name a few weeks ago.
Well, actually, and you still call me other stuff.
Plenty of stuff, especially behind your back. Right, James Maddison, I asked for everyone's favourite memories of Jacko, and we're going to be here all night with these because there's so many good ones. Oh, actually, just before that, I've just retweeted from the Charlton Live account something we put out yesterday as well. Now, there won't be many people who would have known Jacko better than Joe Marden. That's his cousin. He's quite a well-known Arsenal fan on Twitter, actually, his cousin. Jacko's obviously an Arsenal fan as well. Obviously, they've grown up together. But Joe contacted me yesterday morning. He wanted to publish something about Jacko. That's his cousin he's grown up with all these years. And about his relationship with Jacko throughout his career and how he always knew that Johnny was going to be the sort of player who he is and how he sort of saw his relationship with Charlton fans. And you know, just a quote, I'll go, like Joe said, he gets it, Johnny gets it, Charlton fans love Johnny, the feeling is mutual, he gets it. And that says it all for us. But you must read that from the Charlton Live account. That's Jacko's cousin. Like I say, not many people would know him better than that. Now, James Maddison saying, I think as a parting gesture, the club should allow the skipper to keep the People's Trophy, as he was never defeated in that great competition. There was always that rumour that someone dropped that and broke it, which would be gutting because it's one of our few bits of silverware that we've ever won. Right, so favourite memories. I mean, Martin, in the away end at Millwall, Sheffield free kicks, QPR last minute and all of his knee slides as well. I mean, because I was sort of thinking, I was looking at the programme yesterday and saying, like, you know, they listed every single goal he'd ever scored. So 55 he got altogether. Now, his last ever goal for us was, if it stays this way, was against Scunthorpe last season. Now, it was a Jacko time to score because I think we hadn't won in eight and we were teetering on the edge of getting really sucked into a battle to stay in League One. Desperately needed a win. Who steps up? Johnny Jackson. He's always done that throughout his career. You think of the amount of times he's scored. Cardiff, you know, Bolton, I think he scored against them when we were 2-0 down. All the amount of times he's done stuff like that. For us, which is just, oh, it's just incredible, isn't it? He's non-stop, isn't it? Right, Chris said 2-0 down against Fulham, I think. Another one, I've forgotten about this one. Jacko came on as a sub. The team raised their glaim. The whole place lifted. He scored and we drew 2-2. He scored with his first touch. He'd been on the pitch for about 7 seconds. Yeah, that was us, yeah. We got a point. Didn't really save us from relegation, that one. But Pete Finch says, the QPR goal from a selfish point of view, it really put the commentary on the map. He did so much to ease the way forward for us to speak to players on Charlton Live. Whenever we had a player in, Jacko would slip in some corking questions. Jacko is more than special. Amy, my half, says, back in September 2014, I lived in Norwich amongst all their fans, so Jacko's goal at Carrow Road will always be a favourite of mine. And you can't overlook that one. When, dude, I'm fairly confident we got battered for about 86 minutes in that game. And then
I'll tell you what, I remember commentating on that and the locals weren't friendly at all.
Yeah, well, people from Norwich are very dodgy, I found. I hope she's still listening. Right, Sebo says, too many fantastic Jacko memories to pick a favourite moment. I'll just ask you guys in the studio, actually, while I just get the rest of them up. Your favourite?
QPR, I think my one was, because it was just went mental and there was just limbs everywhere. But yeah, no, it's my one.
Yeah,
cool. Ipswich away on my birthday for me.
Oh, of course, that last minute was one. A good one, yeah. New Year's Day, of course.
Yeah.
Him being completely off his face at one of the Player of the Year dues.
You're going to have to narrow it down because that could have been
it. I think it was the second one we'd ever done. And yeah. He was completely off his trolley. It was funny.
I remember listening to the interview.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. Finchie said, also in the title winning year, Jacko telling me that he owned Sheffield. And there's nothing untrue about that one. Mattia says, I'm loving the show tonight. Great win on Saturday. My favourite Johnny Jackson moment was the free kick up at Hillsborough. He said he'd see us up at Rochdale on Saturday. Sebo said, actually, the generous gesture of a refund after the Huddersfield 5-0 defeat. Yeah, you'll remember that when we lost 5-0 at Huddersfield, he went on to offer to pay all the fans back, which he sorted out. Right, I've got some emails as well on Jacko. Dan Haynes, in fact, he's talking about next season for the club captain, suggesting that Solly has been a great servant and one of our own. He's a good pro. So that's a suggestion. But then again, he's sort of saying that Jason Pearce as well, perhaps. Now, Tom Cross saying, for me, it has to be the two free kicks against Sheffield and all the crucial goals he scored during that title-winning season, not to mention his goals in our first season back in the Championship. Right, and on the message board, CHG said, very obvious one, but the Watford away, JJ knee slide in front of the Addicts fans on New Year's Day. We were all going mental, and I remember that moment with a massive smile on my face. And that was another one. That was a 4-3 win where I think we'd had a little bit of a tough run, hadn't we? And we'd gone to Watford, who had been a bit of a bogey side for us for a little while, and they were a very good team at that time as well. And absolute to-and-fro game, and we ended up winning by 4-3. Right, so I mean, we'll pay homage to Jacko again next week at the Player of the Year dinner, because I think we'll probably get a chance to sit down and talk to him. But you know, what a servant for the club, and it's such a shame to see him hanging up his boots. But I'm really excited about what comes next as well now, because if you listen to his speech now, his speech in front of the covered end after the game. Now, sometimes you get a speech after the game, and you know, there's many, like Jose Riga, for example. You know, all due respect to Jose, didn't have me on the edge of my seat listening. Now, Chris Powell can do it. That's the first time I've seen Jacko do a speech in that sort of situation, and he really held his own. You're just thinking, like, he's got a head on him. He's got a head screwed on, this guy, hasn't he? I genuinely think that he's got a very good chance of being the manager of this club one day.
Yeah, he has to be. He's got all the characteristics. You know, one, as you say, the speech was articulate. It said everything it needed to without waffling on like certain other people might have done. And you could have heard a pin drop when he was talking, because everyone, like we've all said, like everyone said, everyone's so captivated by him. Everyone loves him so much. He just commands that respect, and respect is earned, and he's fully earned it. And yeah, for me, he's just got all those qualities in abundance. And yeah, hopefully he won't become a manager until different ownership are here. I think I'd prefer that. But yeah, like Terry said earlier, he's carried us through all these dark times. He's got everything you need to be a decent manager.
Right, we've run out of time. It's flown by, hasn't it? Yeah, thanks of you for all of you for tuning in to Charlton Live this season. Don't forget, tomorrow night it'll be Love Sport Radio at 9 o'clock with me and one of these two. Which one?
Who's
Nathan tomorrow on Love Sport Radio at 9 o'clock. You can phone into that and we can talk about Johnny Jackson once again, lads.
You don't have to stay over, do you know?
Oh mate, I'm struggling to find somewhere now.
Right, come on. Right, Nathan, thank you for coming.
Cheers,
in to see
everyone.
Tom,
cheers.
Terry,
cheers.
It's been great to have you all here on Charlton Live this evening. I'm going to leave the final word to one man.
We've had ups and downs in the 8 years, but got nothing but brilliant memories, fond memories, and let's hope there's a little bit more to come. We've got four more games, and then there could be something special at the end of it. So with your support and with these guys, we stick together, we can get the club back to where it belongs in the Championship. So we'll see you all at Wembley.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.